Walk in front. Walk this way. Walk, don't walk. Walk, don't run. If I could walk this way, my dear Michael, I wouldn't need it.
Doc Tanner stopped in his tracks, the cane falling from his fingers, lying disregarded by his feet. Both hands went to his face.
What am I doing, Michael? Where are we going? What am I saying? How, when is up?
His eyes were filled with horror.
Oh, blessed Lord, am I going insane? Emily, I need your love.
Michael took Doc by the arm and stooped to pick up the lion-headed sword stick.
Want a hand?
No. My thanks for that offer. I owe a cockerel to nobody. My cane, I believe. I will see you again in the coffee house on the corner of Barbary and Ape. At 10 in the forenoon, if that proves convenient for you.
Doc set off at a fine rate again, his head turning to smile over his shoulder at the young man. But the nuking had caused earth movements in that part of the city, and the stone had rippled like satin. Doc caught his toe and fell, twisting his ankle beneath him.
Ow!
He tried to sit up, clutching at his leg.
Oh, it's broken, Michael. I felt it snap. How shall we reach the redoubt now before Ryan and the rest catch up with us?
Michael was mainly aware of a strong feeling of relief that the accident appeared to have restored Doc to his senses, for the time being. The church was small and cramped, nothing like the wonderful edifice of Michael's recent dream. The roof was half gone, with the jagged fangs of broken and blackened rafters silhouetted starkly against the sky. The pews had been removed, and the plain windows along the flanks of the building had all been blown in. There was no crucifix. No sign of life, but an overwhelming stench of stale urine. Doc managed to hobble inside, one arm around the young man's shoulder. But it was obviously extremely painful, and he collapsed on the filthy floor.
Is it broken, Doc?
Help me off with my boot.
All right.
Gently now. I said gently! By the three Kennedys, can't you?
It's too tight to come off easily. The ankle's very swollen. Do you want me to try and cut it off for you?
No! No, Michael. I think not. I have had these boots for 200 years, and I have no wish to start breaking in another pair just yet. Leave it a moment.
Did you feel it break?
Michael knelt at the old man's side.
No. I'd thought that I'd heard it snap, but it merely turned, and now it feels like a small needle of white-hot steel jabbing at the joint. Every step I take, every move I make, every breath I... Perhaps a severe strain.
Can you walk?
Doc shook his head.
I confess, I find myself close to tears, my boy. To be so close to making a cron jump, and to fall, literally, at the final hurdle.
Maybe Ryan and the others have had something happen to slow them down.
And pigs might fly, Michael. No, I fear that they will most definitely return to the redoubt before us.
That mean you can't get me home?
It means it will be a damned sight more difficult. Not impossible.
Doc slapped his hand on his thigh.
If only something could have happened to slow the others.
Tracking was simple, at first. Since no more rain had fallen in the latter part of the night, the trail was easy to pick up across the broken, muddy ground. After only 100 yards, Ryan stopped.
6 of them, and all in small-sized boots.
Yep, and Christy in the middle of them.
Where do you think they're taking her, Dad?
I'm not a seeing mutie or a doomy son. Tracks lead toward the heart of the old ville, that's all we know.
Do you think we should have destroyed the wag?
Mildred glanced behind her, as though she half expected to see it rumbling toward them. The armorer shook his head.
No point. Engine was wasted. Nothing worth raiding for.
You got the drugs and medical stuff out, didn't you, Mildred?
Sure, Ryan. Nothing of a whole lot of value to us. I got that syringe with the instant knockout anesthetic in it safe in my pocket. It might come in useful if we get attacked by a raging gorilla or something like that.
Well, let's hope that never happens.
The farther in they went, the more difficult it became to follow the raiders. The group seemed to be heading directly into the charred heart of Chicago, to their den somewhere amid the hulks of the great skyscrapers, around the ruins of the Civic Center. Ryan held up a hand to stop the other three.
They seem to have passed out of the region that had all those rats. Doesn't look to me like anybody could live around here.
It was simply the biggest area of utter desolation that he'd ever seen. The earth, mud, grass, and trees had virtually disappeared, replaced by molten stone and rusted iron. It was a place where the unimaginable intensity of the heat had actually fused the earth into a glittering expanse of crude glass.
The tracks stop here.
Ahead lay nothing but raw rock, with little that would carry a boot mark. Both Ryan and JB had moderate skill in reading a trail, but there were limits. JB cast around, his head down, eyes screwed up behind the polished lenses of his spectacles.
Where do you reckon?
Thought about it during the night. I got me a theory.
Underground, Dad.
Ryan looked at Dean in surprise.
Yeah, that was my guess. How'd you figure that, boy?
We were in places, me and Rona, that were total shit above, and whole villes underneath.
Mildred stared.
In cellars and basements? That would make sense. But how do we find the way in?
We wait and we watch. Let's find a good place for that.
1,000 yards away, Christy was being offered the first food of the day by a woman who seemed oddly in awe of her.
Just doesn't make sense.
A cherry hung with snow.
Michael jumped. He'd been staring out of the back door of the small church, across a miserable little yard with high walls. A padlocked gate blocked access from a street at the rear, and the corpse of a large dog, its belly swollen and burst, with two legs gnawed off, lay in the corner by a pile of cans so rusted that they hardly existed.
What's that, Doc?
My sweet little child, Rachel. One cold morning she was wrapped all in white, a long shawl of Flemish lace, and her precious face was red with the chill. I recall now that she seemed much like a cherry hung with snow. I cannot imagine what brought that memory to me.
How's your ankle?
Michael desperately wanted to change the subject away from the old-timer's past. It was bound to take the scholar over the edge.
Poorly. It is no more swollen than an hour or so ago. But even with my cane, I do not believe I can yet walk any distance.
I could go look for Ryan and the others, get you safe.
No, I think not. It has occurred to me that it might not be a disaster if they return before us. Ryan could give us up for lost. We creep into the redoubt and into the Kron section. They would not think to search there. Then you to Nilvanity, and me back to Omaha, Nebraska, and my family. Familiar family. Famished family. Famous family. A famulus was the attendant of a sorcerer or warlock in medieval days. You, the Oblet, are my famulus.
Michael turned and sat on the floor, tucking his feet under him.
Yes, Doc, I am.
Despite the angry objections, Ryan insisted that his son stay with him on one side of an open plaza area. They remained on the west. JB took the north, and Mildred concealed herself on the southern flank.
Let me go and I can take the east, Dad. Then we got all ways covered.
Best not, Dean. Likely their patrols are going to be heading out toward us and coming back past us. That's why we need to have double blaster coverage up here.
We going to chill these bitches?
Ryan shook his head.
You gotta make sure your brain's in gear before you set your mouth off running, boy.
Dean blinked, as though his father had slapped him across the side of the face.
Why not?
Women aren't bitches. You wouldn't have liked to hear a man call Sharona your mother a bitch now, would you?
Guess not.
Second, we don't know for certain they are women. Could be muties with small feet.
Yeah, but you and JB both said...
Ryan grinned at the solemn expression on his son's face.
We could be wrong. We said we thought it might be all women.
Yeah, I get it.
No, Dean, you don't. The third thing is that if we chill them, then how do we find out where they've taken Christy?
Well, it's not easy to get all three wrong out of three, is it?
Ryan ruffled the lad's hair, aware with a sudden odd power of a feeling for the boy that he realized could only be paternal love.
Just shut up and watch.
I'm Robin, one of the seniors of the Midnights. You finished the food?
Christy looked up from the narrow bed where she'd spent the remainder of the night. They'd searched her with a brutal, indifferent efficiency, taking away her blaster and knife. Two of the women had locked a chain around her right ankle, the other end fixed to an iron ring set in concrete on the wall. It had been obvious as soon as they neared the heart of the Ville that their hideout had to be...